Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
The Saturday and every Saturday in the studio, well within striking distance, my co-host, the grand poobah of the fishing rod, Mark Tobin.
Poobah.
Poobah. Have you had the poobah in your hand this week?
I did.
No, wait a minute. I should rephrase it. Have you had your fishing? No, I can't say that either. Have you been any fishing this week?
Well, yes. To all of the above, actually. I've got a video, and I've got to get this up on our Facebook page. Took one of the Wounded Warriors out last weekend, and he had said, I'd met him at Stockton with this group called CAMO, Kansas Missouri Adventures, and I didn't take him fishing at Stockton. I took a couple other guys, but I overheard him talking to somebody else that once in his life he'd like to catch a big catfish, and he's 59 years old. And so I kind of interrupted him and said, well, I might be able to help you with that.
Yeah.
So cool. Took him down to Lake of the Ozarks. I've got a little cabin down there. The fishing was not good. Saturday, didn't get down there, till late morning because of the radio show. And we got out. I just had a hard time finding anything. A few crappie, a few white bass, but not much. And then Sunday we went out and it was even worse. So I thought, well, the best chance that we've got, because what I wanted to do was, get him some crappie, white bass, and then maybe go do some catfish.
Sure.
And I thought, well, our best chance is going to be to get some shad and sit on the dock and just catfish. Well, he was fine with that. He had no problem with that. So that's what we did. I got back, and I'm telling you what, shad everywhere. Every bit of that lake, every foot of that lake has shad in it. I've never seen so many. We had definitely a good shad spawn.
Good shad spawn.
So it was no problem getting some shad, and so I chunked a couple of them up and chummed the water a little bit with some of the shad and then set them down. Well, the catfish were biting good.
Cool.
And he wound up catching maybe 20 or 25. Stayed over Monday morning, and I had a little bit of cleaning to do, so he went down early and started fishing on the dock. We didn't catch anything big on Sunday, but just good eating size channels. Well, lo and behold, he got a good one.
Hooked one up, huh?
Yeah, and his reaction, I just happened to have my phone down there and on the dock and filmed him doing this. His reaction is so genuine. His laugh, it is the most priceless thing you have ever seen.
Oh, cool.
It was about a 10-pound blue.
Oh, that
was the biggest fish he's ever caught in his life.
Ah.
And like I said, his reaction is just, you've just got to see it. So we'll get that posted up on the Facebook page so people can see this. It's just, like I said, priceless. Then 20 minutes later, so I'm up cooking breakfast, and I see him frantically waving me down. So I go running down there. Well, he's got another fish, but this one's bigger. And the net that I had netted the first fish with, I had no problem getting that 10-pounder in there, but this fish was so big I couldn't get it in this net.
Whoa.
So I threw that net down, ran to the other side of my dock. I had a bigger net, and I came running back, and just as I was getting to him, he was lifting it up, put a little bit too much pressure on it, on 60-pound line. And it broke.
Oh,
and
no.
It just laid there on its side. I'm trying to get the net down there, but it was too late. It was.
Did you weigh him with your eyeballs, as Archie Henderson used to say?
Well, it wouldn't get in that first net. I would say it's 30 pounds plus.
Oh, what a shame.
30 to 38, maybe.
Wish he'd have got him in.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, he said it's going to haunt his dreams forever.
Yeah. I think it's time for a rerun on it, then.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're gonna do that.
Try to do that again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you had a good weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, like I said, the crappie and white bass weren't cooperating too well, but the catfish did, so it made for a spectacular weekend.
Well, we've got a great show lined up today.
Boy, do we ever.
Kind of exciting times here. Got Keith Mart with Hunter Nation, which I just love this guy, and I love his program and his whole thing that they're doing with Hunter Nation. It's about time somebody spoke up for us guys.
Right.
And then, thanks to Keith, we have Ted Nugent on for the last half hour. So ought to make an unbelievable show, I hope, anyway. So some are just better than others. That's just all it amounts to. Got thinking, I kind of want to get one of the commercials out of the way that we do with Joe Falco. And the reason I wanted to get around to it a little bit earlier this time was The Missouri River bottom across from Squaw Creek and St. Joe North, and as far as you can see, looks like an ocean.
Wow.
So these ducks are going to be hitting. They're already down. A lot of them are down, came out of the Dakotas in the snow, but there, a lot of them are already showing up at Squaw Creek. But they're, so, they're going to be so scattered out. And it's going to be a tough duck season for a lot of humans, and me included. And if you've got a kayak, you can get back. There'll be soft spots where these mallards are. And you'll be able to slip back in there with that kayak and throw out a couple dozen decoys and a mojo or less. If you got a kayak, you got it made. This is going to be a good year for the kayak business. Cool.
Well, and he's got a tournament going on next weekend, the 19th.
Does he?
And he is offering free kayaks to anybody that might want to fish. This is Middle Creek. It's a lake. If you just go down Metcalf South, where Metcalf ends, it ends right into the water. But if you'll call Joe out at Sportsman's Outfitter Marine and talk to them, if you don't have a kayak, or if you have a kayak and you're looking maybe to upgrade, he'll supply you with the kayak, and you can go out there and test drive it while you're fishing in a tournament.
So he's not giving you a free one. He's just going to let you use one.
For the day, yeah.
For the day.
So what a cool deal. Yeah. So check that out. At Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, they're out in Belton, but what a fun, it's a bass tournament. What a fun way to test out a kayak. Yeah.
You know, the best fish in the world, and a lot of people put their boats up in the fall, and we talk about it every fall. On the crappie, all they really get excited, you know.
Yeah.
But catching crappie and getting back in those spots with these kayaks with this high water.
All by yourself.
And
there's still some high water going on out there.
Terrible.
Milford is 19 feet high still.
Yeah.
Tuttle is 44 foot high. Yeah. Perry.
Yeah, and still letting 80,000 cubic feet out of Gavin's Point.
Yes.
And
three weeks in a row, 80,000 CFS.
And it's just, now, alleged, if you want to listen to the government and believe again the government, this river is supposed to start dropping, as effective starting Monday, and really drop, you know, quite a little bit. We've been in flood stage since March the 17th.
Unbelievable.
We've had two or three, whichever way you want to count on, three floods up there in the bottom, basically. And it's just been bizarre. I go up there and hang out with the guys up there in that river bottom. Everybody's kind of down the mouth, and justifiably.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Been way, way too long.
You can only take so much of this.
And then a lot of the guys are seeing the water did go down there for a little bit, and they saw all the damage, and it broke their heart.
Oh,
you know, their tubes are gone, their bridges are gone, their road is gone. It's so devastating. And tell people don't understand what's going on up through there. It's so devastating, and families are coming apart, and bankers nipping at some farmers, and it's just going to be a devastating, and it's going to be 3 to 5 years before this thing gets back into some kind of normality. Mm-hmm. So you feel so sorry for those guys up there, you know, and I don't know what the answers are, just time, I guess, and healing, but it's not good times, you know. You know, when you got a livelihood taken away from you,
you know,
it would be like kind of like being the producer of our show and not getting paid. Also, we are brought to you by King City Lumber Company. These are the finest humans to walk the face of the earth. Marty and Monty Tonks, KingCityLumber.com. Go to their webpage if you're looking for a new hay barn. You're looking for it. Now, they're making these. Have you seen this, Mark? This is... People, they make a building that looks like a hay barn, but then they put living facilities inside.
Oh, is that right? How cool is that?
And a lot of people just live right there next to their combine now,
wow. You
know, in the other room, basically. And they can fix you up anything that you want done.
Well, sure are nice looking.
Oh, yeah, they're good looking buildings. And if you go to their website, kingcitylumber.com, you'll be on there about 20 minutes if you're like I am. And if there wouldn't happen to be something catches your eye in there, these guys are so good, they will help you design one. So if you're in the mode, there's nobody finer. They're master carpenters, master craftsmen, and when they leave that job site, it will be done and done right. KingCityLumber.com. Well, by the magic of the telephone, we're going to go to Keith Martin. He's here already.
Oh, man.
You looked at it like, what?
Yeah, yeah, right.
What's the matter?
Yeah,
you all right?
Yeah, it's just early.
The fishing rod poo ball. Keith, how are you doing this morning?
Boys, I'm doing great.
Oh, you know, good.
I apologize for not being able to make it in there. As I told you guys, my mom has been a little under the weather, so I figured she changed my diapers enough times I could, you know, I could take care of here for her for a little bit. Well, so that's what sidelined me a little bit.
Well, good luck with Mama. That's more
How's
important.
She feeling? Is she any better?
Well, you know, she just got out of the hospital and into a rehab facility. She had a pretty major surgery. She's 82, but she's tough, so she's doing good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's amazing. I just had a little bout in the hospital myself, and I've learned to respect the doctors and the nurses more than I ever did, and they work their tails off, and they're a great organization. Keith, first I want to thank you. We're going to have Ted Nugent on at 6:30, and because of you, because of nobody else, and without you, we wouldn't be able to do that, and I've always wanted to have a nice visit with Ted Nugent. But before we get to Ted, I want to talk about HunterNation.com. For our listeners out here, what is that organization?
Yeah, so go to HunterNation.org and check it out, right? Because so if you take a look at the statistics, just the hard numbers, hunting in America peaked in 1980. And you've seen a sharp decline in hunting license sold since 1980 in this country. And it's not just a little decrease. I mean, it is a sharp decline. And then you take a look at kind of the soul of America since about then as well.
Sure.
And you see what's going on. And so what's really happened is the industry has not done a very good job on some fronts. And then there's some cultural issues that, you know, we butted against, too, that has caused problems. But make a long story short, we've kind of lost our voice in politics. We've lost, kind of our swing or clout, if you will, in the state halls and in D.C. And if we don't reverse that, and if hunters don't get active in the process, they don't get registered to vote, they don't get energized and informed and get out and vote, our way of life can be over, I mean, in one blink of an eye. And if anyone's paying any attention to some of these candidates that are on the stage these days and what they would do if they had the power, and part of that isn't to protect and preserve our lifestyle for a great many of them on that stage.
Yep.
And Hunter Nation's going to fix that, right? That's what we're doing. We are the fastest growing. I think we're over 20,000 members in just a very short period of time. We're working in a number of key states right now, key battleground states, to make sure hunters get active. For example, we just spent a bunch of time in Wisconsin, just for an example. They sold over 750,000 deer tags in Wisconsin last year for in-state hunting. When you compare that to the number of votes that were cast in the presidential election in 2016, if all deer hunters in Wisconsin would vote, they would account for 25% that state's vote.
Wow.
Minnesota, similar statistics. We're just working on Minnesota as we speak. So hunters don't realize the amount of power that we can have if we would be active. I'm going to be doing a brand new television show this fall called Great American Tales on Outdoor Channel. And it's a good wholesome. It's not a hunting television show. It has a hunting theme, of course, but it's more just a good family program. God, family, country, hunting, and conservation is the theme of the show. And one of the shows that we did, we filmed in New York with Donald Trump Jr., telling the Donald Trump Jr. show. What people, you know, that may not know Donald Trump Jr.'s story, you think about it. He's the son of a billionaire who grew up, you know, in New York beneath the brightest of spotlights, amidst the hustle and bustle of some of the biggest business deals being made anywhere in the world. Yet he went on to have this unbelievable passion for the outdoors and hunting, and he's really, if not the leading, certainly one of the leading voices for conservation in America today.
Keith, I'll tell you what, we got to take a break. We got a commercial coming up, but just because we're outdoor enthusiasts and we're hunters, we're not a bunch of heathens and slobs. We're good humans. And we respect what we're doing out there, whether it's fishing or hunting. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice you're hearing is a buddy of mine, Keith Mark, HunterNation.org. Please join this organization. We got to take a little commercial break to help pay for all this. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, by the magic of the phone. We have Keith Mark with HunterNation.org. If you, why, talk me into being a member here. What do I got to do? What do I get for joining up here, Keith?
Well, first of all, before we get into the membership, Fred, I have to, and I can't, you know, read this verbatim because it's from Nugent. He's still on a duck marsh, and he says his dogs will divorce him if he doesn't shoot two more ducks. He's going to try to call him, but he says he promises you. He said he's always wanted to be on your show, Fred. He said if he doesn't make the call today, he said he'll give you a whole hour, and he'll work it out with you this week.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So, but, you know, I'm still hoping for him, although I know when Nugent's hunting. So I immediately texted Waddell. I said, Mike, if you're up.
Yeah.
Nugent's hunting. He's put hunting ahead of a radio show. Will you? And so we'll see if we can get somebody cool to call in. If not, it's actually a pretty good trade. If I'm actually hoping that Nugent doesn't shoot two more ducks. Listen, this is Hunter Nation in a second. If you go there right now to HunterNation.org, you're going to see a cool promotion that's going on through October 15th. You have an opportunity to enter a sweepstakes to hunt with Donald Trump Jr., who I was just talking about. We're about ready to launch another 20 hunt sweepstakes that'll be coming up next month, later this month, first of next month. Last go-round, we had gave hunters the opportunity to hunt with Don Jr., Mark Geis from Benghazi, Robert O'Neill, the Navy SEAL that killed bin Laden. All kinds of personalities. Waddell took a winner on a turkey hunt. Nugent's taking some people up later this month to Michigan for a deer hunt. Weston Clark, and I mean literally a who's who of the outdoor world is all involved, and so you can get in these sweepstakes. And that's only such a small part of what we're doing. That's really just kind of trying to get people their attention. What we're really doing is we're trying to make sure hunters unite, make sure we don't lose this lifestyle. I told you about this show I'm doing with Don Jr., and if it'll air right after Thanksgiving on Outdoor Channel. But one of the things that he said, it was so pointed, is, I had mentioned to him during our show, our interview, that his dad had said, in 2016, when I first had met who's now the president, he said, hunters don't vote. And I couldn't believe that. But then when you see the statistics, it's true. Hunters don't vote.
Wow.
And it makes no sense to me because we are so passionate about traditional American values, God, family, and country, and we want to pass this on. That's why I love listening to Mark's story about how, you know, he mentors and passes. That's really what it takes. But if we don't vote, and Don Jr. said this, and it's true, the other side's pastime, if not their full-time job, is to do away with our traditional American values, and hunting's one of them. In a blink of an eye, one election cycle, we could lose all of this. And that just scares me to death because, you know, obviously my grandfather passed it on to me with my dad, both of my grandfathers, and then of course I've passed it on to my children and can't wait to pass it on to my granddaughter, and if we don't, then it's gone. And so that's what Hunter Nation's going to do. It's going to make sure that we get involved in politics at the state, local, and national level to thwart some of these crazy legislation ideas that are going around out there trying to limit, you know, somebody borrowing your shotgun in the field and not allowing to do this and can't do this and making it over-regulating it to the point where even people that, you know, happen to be lawyers like myself, not a good lawyer, but a lawyer, we can't even figure the rules out if we travel outside of our state and sometimes in our own state. So we need a voice. We need to unite. We need to realize the clout we have in Hunter Nation's the place.
We're visiting with Keith Mark from Hunter Nation. Check that out at HunterNation.org. Keith, it's just mind-boggling to me that there's so many hunters that don't vote. So what do we do? How do we get the hunters out there? How do we get them educated? How do we get them out there to vote?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's just like what you did, Mark. It's you have to do it one at a time. If you get somebody out there and you get them interested, first of all, even people that aren't hunters right now, aren't sportsmen right now, introduce them to what we're doing. Let them know that we're not just a bunch of toothless hillbillies out there, that we are really Americana. We're a swath of the best. best part of America. And then when we can, they can see that, okay, then we've increased our ranks. But the thing is, if you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. And then inform yourself. Inform yourself with these different candidates. Hunter Nation is a 501c4, which means we cannot endorse any particular candidate. We are endorsing a belief, a lifestyle, God, family, country, hunting, and conservation. And so we will weigh in on all of those issues. And the truth of the matter is, if you look right now what's going on, the choice is so clear across the divide. You know, you have one side of the aisle that in one set of candidates that believe socialism is better than capitalism. They believe that open borders is better than America. They believe that not only should we have open borders, we should give to people here illegally before we take care of American veterans. And then you look where they stand on the Second Amendment, and then you look where they stand on hunting and fur and other issues, plastic straws, for God's sakes, let alone, you know, hunting. And the choice is so doggone easy. And you know, and then you can get into some of the other social issues that I won't get into today because it always bugs some people. But wherever you stand on these issues, there's never been a more stark contrast for the American hunter, the American fisherman, the American sportsman, to make a decision who is better to run our country, to run our states, to run our towns, than what you're seeing out there right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you hear is Keith Mark with HunterNation.org. Log on there, find out about these guys, join up. We need you more now than ever. If you guys are not a joiners, which I'm amazed at the people I know that don't belong to ducks, duck hunters that don't belong to Ducks Unlimited, duck hunters that don't belong to Delta Waterfowl, duck hunters that don't belong to NRA, you know, it's just money, and it's not very much money. You can become a member, and it's so, so important in these times. When you understand that we dropped out so many hunters in the 80s, was it money? I mean, is it too expensive of a sport for a lot of people now?
Well, I think it's a couple of things, too. It's a well-planned attack on us. It's a cultural attack. So if you look at the diminishing numbers of 4-H, you look what's going on with the Boy Scouts of America, some youth organizations that traditionally promoted hunting and shooting, and those numbers have declined. So that hurts us with recruitment big time. But if you think about two major things, and just look at what's gone on with the regulation across the board, that we've seen some changes in the last 3 years with deregulation, what that's done to our economy and certain things. Well, hunting has become so regulated, and I wish Nugent, I hope he calls in, and if not, this is something I promise you he'll talk to you about, that what happened is anti-hunters infiltrated not only the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and Department of Interior, but right on down to local fish and game. And so they made hunting difficult to do legally. Mm-hmm. In Michigan, you can't carry your own bow on your four-wheeler. It has to be completely encased, zipper completely shut. In Idaho, for God's sake, where Nugent and I did an event, you can't shoot lighted knocks in Idaho. Some states don't allow you to have a scope on your muzzle loader. This is so crazy, right, that you can't. I mean, honestly, it's to make it difficult. So they've regulated it to the point where it's hard to comply with the laws, and you get people that are afraid to do it, or then they're, you know, getting charged and kids and so on and so forth. And the other thing is they're trying to diminish game populations. And so you look at what they've done with the reintroduction of the wolf in certain places. They're just devastating game populations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you take your kid out to elk hunt on the mountains in Idaho, like a very good friend of mine who owned an outfitting company in Idaho, John Montgomery, and it got to where John would take his people out or even his own kids, and they couldn't find an elk.
Yeah.
And if there's one gunshot in the mountains in Idaho, a pack of wolves is on you, and you look at the now, wow. you see bear problems and so forth. So I think it is truly a cultural war that's going on right now. And so I think if you talk to Nugent, if he calls in here, and if not today, maybe we get him for an hour next week, He'll tell you that he believes the number one problem is the regulation, the over-regulation, and that we've allowed this to go on to the point where, hey, a kid just says, to hell with it, I'll go to the mall.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, the person you're hearing on the air, I'll spit it out, is Keith Mart with HunterNation.org. We got to take a little break. Mark's got some baited breath here, wants to ask you some questions. But we are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet up in St. Joseph, Missouri, 28 minutes north of KCI. I think it would behoove you to drive up there if you're in the mode for a Chevrolet product today. Probably save you $2,000-$4,000 to drive 28 minutes. I think that's good. Do the math, as they say. What a great selection. He just unloaded a bunch of new Chevrolets up there, and a lot of stores weren't getting them. But he has got a huge selection. At one time, he had 102 Chevrolet trucks in there with the strike on. They are dwindling very, very fast. But the diesel ton. Now, I think I'm going off this right, $17,500 rebate off.
Wow.
It's just the perfect time for you to buy that dream pickup for the hunt season coming up. And go up and do business with Trevin. You talk about an outdoorsman and a true American. This is the kind of guy, Marine, been there twice, Purple Heart, kind, fantastic. Can't say enough good things about Trevin Reed.
And just the dealership, the non-commissioned salespeople.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no pressure on them. They don't put any pressure on you. The hardest thing is just trying to find a vehicle. You know, pick out the one because there's so many to choose from. That's the hardest thing. Just making up your mind which one you want.
And they never sell you a truck. They help you buy one.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly the way it comes down. That sounds like a cliche, but that's just the way it is up there. Reed Chevrolet, Frederick Avenue, I-29, 28 minutes north of KCI. Go up there and see these fantastic people. We got to take a little break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you.
Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. Joining us on the phone now, we got Keith Mark from Hunter Nation, HunterNation.org. Definitely an organization that all of us need to be involved with. Now, Keith, right before the break, we were talking about regulations, and I've heard you and Ted both talking about the minutiae of regulations, and that if a regulation doesn't promote safety or conservation, that they should be wiped off the books. Is there any way for us to be able to change these regulations?
Sure. And again, this is how come you have to be vocal. Mm-hmm. You know, why is it that the NRA can get into any door in Congress? It's because they have a member base that's big enough that if the NRA says, hey, look, our people are going to vote you out, the legislator has to think about that. Hunters have never had that. You know, we've got some great organizations. You mentioned some, you know. You got the ducks, you got the turkeys, you got these groups doing a great job, which, by the way, and I'm going to miss somebody, I shouldn't even name these, but if you go to the website, you're going to see that the Wild Turkey Federation has partnered with Hunter Nation, the Mule Deer Foundation, Big Game Forever, Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife, Safari Club International. I mean, there's a number of these groups that are worried about one demographic in hunting that have joined us, but they realize that if we all come under one umbrella interested in trying to effectuate political change to give a voice to the hunting community in all aspects, not just ducks or mule deer and their niche, that we can actually make a difference. So yes, the answer, Mark, is yes. Ted and I went to Idaho and did an event last year around February. And a lot of the DNR was there, and Ted railed on him. He goes, I cannot believe that I'm in Idaho, and you guys, lit nocks are illegal. He goes, I want one of you guys from Fish and Game to stand up and tell me one reason why that's true. And he goes, seriously, I see some of you even got your uniforms on tonight. You're so damn proud of what you do. Stand up and tell me why that's on the books. And, I mean, he railed on it. And you know what? They changed that.
Oh, good.
Cool.
And so that's really what it takes. But the problem is we can't fly Ted Nugent to every town and every state and, you know, whatever. Oh, he does a lot of it. And so what we need to do is we need to learn to rally ourselves and get behind local leaders, you know, like Fred and Mark here in Kansas City. And, you know, I got a sidetrack here just for a second. You know, you have all these wonderful sponsors on your show. And I know you have a lot of hunters that listen. And some people do shop there, but all hunters should patronize the people that support our lifestyle. Because I listen to the Diamond commercial where they talk about, hey, you know, you can either use us or go right to the people that get them cut in China.
Yeah.
And think about that for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, it just boggles my mind that hunters have just let this go by them. And you know, a lot of hunters, and you guys know it, in hunting camps will say, well, you know, this is my pastime, you know, and this is my hobby, and I don't want to get political with it. No, that's the wrong answer. We must. Mm. We must get political, and that's how we're going to change it. So, Mark, I gave you one example of how it can happen, but there needs to be 100 more of those, and Hunter Nation's working on that. But what we need is we need the numbers, and the membership is like $10. I mean, I think they lose money. I mean, they don't care about the – this is an organization that's not worried about the money. It's worried about the numbers. We're trying to register hunters. We're trying to activate and inform hunters so then hunters can take their rightful place, which is right at the table with the big boys when decisions are being made about things that affect our lifestyle.
You've got kind of an all-star cast of people that are involved with this organization. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, in fact, everywhere that we go, we recently had some very high-profile meetings with some people, and you know, you'll just keep watching the website and the newspaper, really, and you're going to see some of the partnerships that we're forming right now at the highest of levels. But they said the exact same thing. They said this is a who's who list of outdoor celebrities, from, you know, Waddell to Rob Keck, who founded the Wild Turkey Federation, to Nugent. Then you look at our war heroes, from Mark Geist to Robert O'Neill. Heck, we have Donald Trump Jr., who's really got behind Hunter Nation. And then you look in the business world, some of the most – Mark DeYoung's the CEO of Hunter Nation, who's, you know, who's a legendary in the business end of the hunting world. So never before has a stable of horses been assembled that can really move this issue forward. There's been other attempts to do what we've tried to do in the past, to unite the hunting world, to bring Safari Club with the Turkey Federation, with the Mule Deer Federation, with so on and so forth. And they've always failed because our industry has been so individualistic. We sat in our tree stands alone. You know, we I'm not going to tell Mark where I fish because, hell, he'll be there with 15 of his friends. You know what I'm saying? That's the way we were raised. Well, my dad used to tell me if we passed another boat on the river when we were doing lines down by Emporia, he would say, Don't ever hold up a fish when anybody comes by. We don't want them to know. And I was a little kid. I wanted to show them. I'm like, man, we're catching the hell out of them. You know? But hunters, we want to keep our spot to us. But and you know what? I understand that. But what we need to do is make sure that not our sport, but our sport is pushed forward, that our lifestyle is pushed forward, you know. And we really need to do it. And that's what these people are saying, is that no one's ever brought the industry together in such a short period of time. And we're not even a year old right now.
Yeah. You know, one thing too, Keith, I would think that fishermen ought to join us. Even if you're not a hunter, the regulation thing falls over fishing too. And you need the numbers. That's as simple as it gets. You need the numbers of people.
I agree with you, you know, Fred. And so when you think about this, when we were sitting down when Hunter Nation was formed, of course, Hunter is in the name. But if you look at the tenets of Hunter Nation, there's five: God, family, country, hunting, and conservation. So you got to go four deep in the depth chart to get to the word hunting. And certainly fishing falls under conservation. And we had some conversation about including fishermen in the organization. There's some talk right now to do a spinoff organization, much just like this, to bring them under the umbrella. But you're 100% correct. But I say, if any of this resonates with you, God, family, country, hunting, conservation of any kind, we're the group for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, and we go back to regulations, and I got to go back in memory. I used to hunt with the good old boys. And when things started changing, Missouri duck stamp, steel shot, migratory cards, federal duck stamps, affixed, signed, regulated hunting licenses. I had three or four people that I didn't think would ever quit waterfowling said, I don't understand it. I don't want a ticket. I'm scared to be out there.
Isn't that a shame?
It just broke my heart, and I still think about them constantly, and I see them every once in a while, and they miss it. But they're good, Christian, honest men that don't want a ticket.
What the scary thing is? That was the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Mark, you hit the nail on the head, too. You said, is it too expensive? And I got onto two other topics, but to come back to that, you're right. And this is the problem with our industry, right? For years, the people that ran these companies, they realized in 1980, 81, 82, 83 that this ship had hit the iceberg. But instead of trying to figure out how to fix the ship, they tried to get a cabin higher in a higher deck.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they were selling more bows or guns or bullets than people in the lower decks, they considered it a successful year. And so what's happened is, if you're selling less bows, they just raised the price of the bows.
Exactly what it was.
And that's what's happened.
Yep.
And they have priced some good people out of this sport, which is a doggone shame.
Yeah. Well, you know, the proudest moments of my life is when I've taken my kids hunting or fishing. I could care about anything else in the world at that time as long as they're having fun. I remember to the day when that old gobbler jumped up on the log and my boy was 8 or 9 years old and he killed that gobbler. I almost broke into tears. I didn't ever tell him that.
Right.
But that was the proudest moment of my life. And, you know, if you want to get close to your family, take them fishing. Take them hunting. Go out and giggle in the outdoors. Walk through a park. Go to Squaw Creek. Walk around, you know, during the migration. It's the most family bonding time that you can possibly have. I don't know. Maybe I'm on my soapbox.
No, not at all. You know,
no,
you're
a perfect soapbox.
You're working for something together. You're working toward a common goal together, and there's nothing else like that.
There's nothing.
Nope.
And it's not to kill people that don't do it, don't get it, right?
No.
I have no idea.
A friend of mine is trying to do a movie right now. It's a faith-based movie. He's the CEO of the Outdoor Sportsman's Group, Jim Libitore. He's written this. And there's a scene in the movie where a kid who's now his father's passed away, and he's reminiscing back about hunting with his dad as a young man. And he remembers a time on a duck marsh where he says to his dad, this has been the worst hunt ever. We didn't see anything. And he remembers his dad saying, really? He said, I saw one of the most beautiful sunrises that I've ever seen. He said, I saw the marsh open up in ways that people that live and never come out here in the city wouldn't know. And I saw a father and a son bond together like they can't do anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And about brought a doggone tear to my eye because, like you, Fred, I started thinking back about my kids when I first introduced them outside, and some of the most fun I had with them, of course, is when they were successful, but I remember times when we weren't, and those are just as meaningful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Mark's story is the story for the day. We all need to be mentors, not only to our own, but let's get someone else out. In fact, Donald Trump Jr., he tells this story, and it was so pointed. I said, hey, your dad didn't hunt. How did you get into this? And, you know, he talked about how his grandfather in communist Czechoslovakia introduced him. But when he went away to boarding school in Pennsylvania, he said he had two teachers there. One was a wing shooter, and one was just a shooter. And he said they introduced him. And when they introduced him, he was hooked. And so now he feels obligated to do that in his life, to pass it on not only to his children, but to some of the other people that live in the Communist Republic of New York, so they might learn, you know, these great things too. And so we all need to do that. That's what the hunting mantra should be, is let's not improve our lot in this life by moving up a floor in the sinking ship, but to bring more people on the ship so we can balance it.
Mm. We're visiting with Keith Mark, HunterNation.org, and I know a lot of you have tuned in expecting to hear Ted Nugent this half hour, but Ted is out hunting.
I knew that would happen. He's got his priorities right.
And he said he'd have a pretty pissed off dog if he didn't get two more ducks. And so he thought he might try to call, but if he didn't, that he's going to give us an hour here in the near future. So stay tuned. We are hoping that we will still get Ted on here in the very near future. But Keith, just on a different note, you mentioned that you're doing your this new television show, Great American Tales. And the first one is going to be out around Thanksgiving?
Right. So, and I'm not sure the order these are going to air, but we're there's going to be a Thanksgiving one-hour special that's a movie about a family, done with all actors, and about a family in the 1950s going through some difficult times, but it's their hunting roots back on the farm and their faith, and, you know, that gets them through this difficult situation. It's a fantastic, heartwarming, you know, movie. Then there's going to be a Christmas episode that's called A Cowboy Christmas that we have filmed almost all of it. The music of legendary Michael Martin Murphy, who's in the Cowboy Hall of Fame, is going to drive it. But we're also dealing with real working cowboys and telling the story of the American cowboy all the way back to when and how important that traditional lifestyle is to the fabric of America. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have 3 half-hour episodes in between. Part of that's going to be, you know, telling the Donald Trump Jr. story and some others that are just, you know, very good. And this, we're going to only do these 5 this year, but next year we're going to do considerably more. And it's, again, it's not a hunting show. It's a traditional American value show.
Well, you know, I'm on the same page with Mr. Nugent. I got my Montana, and we talked about this last time you were here in the studio with us. I got my Montana regulation book, and it was 38 pages or something, to go deer hunting. And I thought, you know, this is just, and I'm not very smart. I'm a talk show guy. But I have surrounded myself with smart people, and I had them help me read these regulations. We got confused. We got upset. I mean, the people, and I called out there and I said, hey, we got a question. And it wasn't very nice that what the response was. And one person actually lied to me.
Wow.
And I've not put that behind me. And I finally got, you know, I can either whine or do something about it. So I called back out there and got the director on the phone. And gave him a verbal blast, and it was not pleasant. And she finally said, we have got a committee together to address exactly what you're talking about. And there's nowhere in the regulations that we could ever find, and we read it page to page to page, said what county you could legally hunt in. If I was an attorney at law and I had a client to represent, where does it say, you know, that this is a regulation in that county? And it's just so bizarre, you know, between bag limits and ID ducks and steel shot and plug shotguns, and you can have an unplugged gun in one state and you can't have it in the other. And it just, bows that got to be encased. In Colorado, you have to have the gun in the case if you're on your four-wheeler, you know. And it just gets so bizarre. It's like they're nitpicking, looking for something to issue us a ticket about.
Or keep you from hunting.
Right, 100%. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You know, I could name you a few. You just, like in New Hampshire, bow hunters have to have their name and address on every arrow.
You got to be kidding me.
No, in Montana, one of the greatest states in America, you cannot use a trail camera during the season.
Yep.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
It's
and then,
stupid.
I mean, then, of course, you know, some of the funny ones is, like, Nebraska. On their books, it's illegal to hunt whales. but in Texas, though, it is legal to shoot Bigfoot if you see him. I love Texas, right? I mean, but, I mean, some of this is just so crazy, right? It's just nuts. In Wyoming, it's illegal when you're hunting to take a picture of a rabbit from January to April.
Seriously.
That's Wyoming. Think about some of these. And, I mean, you know, if you have Nugent on here, he can go on and on. I mean, I've memorized a few of them, but, I mean, he's got 500. That it's just nuts.
And they wonder why people dropped out.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the recruitment.
You take a God-fearing, honest man that finally gets a day off work to go out there and enjoy the outdoors, and he doesn't understand if he's in regulation. Should I panic? I see a game warden coming. Oh, my goodness, what did I do wrong? Type attitude, instead of embracing the guy and say, hey, this is pretty cool. We're catching some nice fish on a deal. I saw a show. They got one on Outdoor Channels where it's a bunch of game wardens, and they go around writing tickets. Mm-hmm. And this poor lady had snagged a trout. I think it was in Michigan. You know,
right.
And they got her. You know, I mean,
bring that show up to Nugent when he's on.
Yeah,
because that sticks in his throat. He goes, you know, I mean, and I love the, you know, Outdoor Channel, the Sportsman's Channel. I mean, the Pursuit, all these channels that promote our lifestyle is good. But that show right there just never ceases to amaze me. I had my own little run-in with Fish and Game here a couple years ago, where, you know, on TV, you know, sometimes on TV, you know, make a long story short, everything was legal. They came, we were tagged, everything was right. But they say, well, we were watching the show and we saw X amount of pheasants fall. But when you showed the picture of the pheasants, you were within your limit. And, you know, we think you overshot your limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, damn, you dumbass. You know, we show the same bird from if we happen to catch the angle, if two,
yeah,
three guys are out there, we showed the same bird. I mean, you know, we're not counting how many times, and sometimes, you know, if you come back from the break, you might re-show another one, the same one that you just,
yeah.
I just, it blows me away. But what it told me is you do have people that, these anti-hunters that have infiltrated these fish and game systems, and they're sitting there watching, and Nugent told me this when I first started doing McMillan River Adventures on TV. He goes, well, buddy, be careful and welcome to the big leagues, because
yep,
the George Soros organizations of the world, they're out there trying to catch the professional TV guys because they want to hang you in effigy, you know, and it's crazy.
The one that sticks in my craw, this happened 10 years ago. Father, sons, two guys brought their two kids to go duck hunting on our club. They were in the blind. They got out of the blind. It was colder than most, and the kids hung in there with them. And as they were walking down the levee, they were carrying their dad's ducks. Well, that made them in violation.
Wow.
You know, a waterfowler has to have his waterfowl within his immediate possession.
What difference does it really make?
Oh,
seriously?
This federal guy made an issue.
Oh, my.
And I mouthed off something to this guy. This guy's no longer, he's been bombed out. But I didn't mouth off. I said, hey, come on, like that. And he said, you're impeding with a federal investigation.
Give me a break.
Wow.
Give me a break. Now, come on.
You know, this is why we need hunt. I mean, if we don't fix this, guys, you know, I mean, it's just, if you're a kid, you just think about that. If you're a kid, that's why God gave me kids to carry my ducks out.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's crazy, but we just need to take back our own lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's really what it boils down to. We need to take responsibility for ensuring that this traditional American lifestyle is still around long after you guys and I are around. And we can do it. We can do it. It's just we got to register them. We got to inform them. We need to energize them, activate them, and then come November, we'll see some real change.
And, Keith, it's hunternations.org. And it's, how much is it to join?
$10.
$10.
Hey, listen, for $10, you can, right now through October 15th, if you enter into the Don Jr. sweepstakes, so let's say Fred says, hey, I'd love to hunt with Donald Trump Jr. He goes in, he buys a chance for $10, or, you know, if I had Fred's money, I might buy 100 chances. But you go in and you buy a chance to hunt with Donald Trump Jr. for $10, we're going to give you a membership.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
so, cool. You know what I'm saying? So it's a $10 membership if you buy it. And there's some higher level memberships, of course, where you can get a really cool challenge coin and so on and so forth. But it's all about the membership numbers going up so we can show politicians that hunters care. They have come under one umbrella. And we're going to hold you accountable. It's called We the People, and we're going to hold you, we the hunting people, we the conservation people, we the God, family, country people, are going to hold you responsible for doing what's right by us. We don't care about your own corruption. We want to care about us and our family.
Well said.
Keith, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Please come in the studio with us someday if you possibly are around the neighborhood. We'd love to see you in here. and help. Thanks for your help trying to get Ted.
Well, whenever we get Nugent, I will come into the studio because you boys will need help corralling.
Yeah. And I got to end this with one thought too. I know a lot of conservation agents. There's a lot of good ones out here.
Mm-hmm. There are.
And they're good people. They understand. They got common sense. And they're not out to get you type thing. I enjoy them when I'm around them. But there is some bad apples in every organization. I don't care what it is, whether it's hunters, fishermen, or conservation agents. There is some bad apples out there. So, you know, take us all in perspective on this thing, too.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thank
you, Keith.
Well,
good luck.
That wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. What a great guest.
Yeah, hunternation.org. Get in there. Get it.
$10. Please. Please,
just need numbers, people. Numbers of people. It's not about the money.
I've never begged on air. Please join this organization, hunternation.org. Got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.